B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. We're no longer on TV, so the people on radio spread the word. The Phillies have taken over NBC Sports Philly, but 97.5 The Fanatic continues as Football Friday, and the 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Brian Westbrook will join us on Football Friday from 4 to 5, and we'll debut our NFL selections at 4:30. And I'm telling you right now, the Eagles are in my selection. I think they're going to win the game. Doesn't matter what Doug just said, how snippy he got. They're coming back with some guys that are important. Lane Johnson. The running back, Sanders. Barnett. Got some people back. It gives you confidence. When you go at the war with a full complement of players, you feel better about yourself.
It makes a big difference. And it's not an excuse. They're up 17-0. They're supposed to win the game. Like, that's been acknowledged Monday through all the way through to today. But getting that many guys back does make a difference. It just does.
Yeah.
They're a more talented team entering this Sunday than they were last week. There's more talent on the field.
Yes.
Like, that's factual. So that's something that makes a difference.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. 4 o'clock. The football pool, we will give you another shot to qualify for all the prizes in the pool. Now, here's the deal with the football pool. You call, if you're the fifth caller at the time we call for it, you'll get a quick $100. And then, if you answer a trivia question, I'm looking at today's trivia question. Let me see today's trivia question. How would I rate it? Mildly difficult. Mildly difficult.
It's fair.
Yeah. So what we've added today, we add prizes every day. So right now in the pool, the big prizes are a Pullin Pro 21-inch snowblower. We also have $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We have a full year supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods. We have a fire pit kit from Landis Block. And then we have some very cool memorabilia type gifts that are in the pool so far. All right, let's go back.
I wonder if I can try to win this somehow.
You want to win the pool?
Yeah,
you want the actual pool, or do you want?
Yeah,
what's
I want
in
the
there?
Pool itself.
I know.
I'll let the person.
What are you going to do with the pool? Are you going to wait in it?
Yeah, I'll sit on my deck.
Sit on your deck in a football shaped baby pool.
Yeah, I'll sit
It's perfect for my yard
down?
In Fishtown.
Yeah, I'll sit like on my outdoor couch. Put my feet in the baby pool.
Oh, you put your feet in there. You're not going to put the whole body in there, right?
Nah.
Maybe you can put the body in there. Read. Might be a good reading pool.
Yeah, that's not really my scene.
No?
But Elizabeth might want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would. Maybe I can just find another one of
those
pools.
You're not chill. You're like chill at like that where you would like wade in a baby pool and read a thick book, right?
Well, I usually read at the pool.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, at the pool where I'm the Jackie Robinson. Yeah, I mostly read at that pool.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Phil and Cherry Hill. Phil, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Phil.
Hey, Mike. How you doing,
What's
man?
What's up, Phil?
Nothing, man. I love the positive energy towards the Eagles. I definitely want to comment real quick on two people that you just brought up, one of them being Lane Johnson, the other being
Miles Sanders.
Coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And he's not just coming back. He's you know, he said at the beginning of the year he's ready to have the best career of his life. You know, he's going for it. Last year, I just want to bring this up. Last year, the Eagles had Miles Sanders. Now, I didn't necessarily think they built their offense around him, but Lane Johnson was a huge success to his run game. The offensive line, the blocking, we also had some new guys in, but this game, I'm not totally blaming the offensive line. I am blaming the blocking. There were at least three or four that I saw on running backs that they just blew right by him. There were zone blitzes coming all game. Doug Peterson should have made an adjustment. Somebody should have made an adjustment. Screenplays, like the other guy said, they were almost forecast. Mm-hmm. You could read the whole offense. There was no run game established. No play action. Killed the long ball. Killed the midfield with the zone blitz and coming through the
Think about this for a second now. This is why the coach needs to be questioned. because the guy that's supposed to pick up the blitz is about 5'6", and what's Boston Scott weigh? Now you're putting that kind of onus on Boston Scott.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a bad philosophy. And Corey Clement, who, you know, at this stage.
There's a lot of Phillies fans looking at this as the O-line. You know, but, you know, next game will be different. It's going to be much different. Derek Barnett's coming back. You know, that released some pressure off Fletcher Cox. You know, Fletcher Cox doesn't have to perform at his best. He doesn't have to feel all that pressure. But guess what? Now the line's healthy. So when we're rotating, it's not going to be every other play. It's going to be every play. We're going to be expecting a sack there. So we got some two key components in our monsters. But I will say that Malik Jackson, I believe it's Malik Jackson, played his first game since he was out for the season last year.
Played well, too.
Played well. Yeah. He played real well. And I saw them attacking not only our guys on defense, just playing man-to-man a lot. And, I mean, Rodney McLeod's his first season playing man-to-man, so guess what? They went right for him. And I'll tell you what, most of those balls that were dropped in the midfield, I do blame the safeties. I blame the safeties. I blame the defense for not even responding. We got no pressure on them.
Yeah.
They ran the ball. They threw the ball. But, yeah, man, I see the Eagles winning this game. I'm going to say Eagles win the game 28-18, if not 28-14, 13. They definitely win this by two touchdowns, and ooh, they will hold this game off. Their defense will pull it off in the end.
All right. I like it. Two touchdown win for an optimistic Eagle fan. And again, it's a must-win situation.
Yeah, he was completely wrong about the defense, though, factually.
Yeah.
They averaged 3.4 yards a carry last week, Washington did.
Yeah.
But they got like 50 yards rushing the whole game.
And teams that do that
never win. You had to stat. Yeah, never win.
That was another Hembo stat.
Yeah, that was another huge outlier. The defense was not the problem. They'll have to play better, obviously. But the Rams, this Rams offense is not like previous year's Rams offense. They've had to get rid of guys because of the cap. Really, it's Cooper Kupp in the slot as he's their main weapon, which is very different than how it was before, where they had a bunch of guys. It's really him and some no name running backs. Their offense is not great.
Yeah, you know, they get most of their production in the slot. The other guy gets a lot of time in the slot too. Woods.
Yeah, Robert Woods. Yeah.
Which means that Darius Slay won't be messed against those guys.
But they like Nichols. Roby.
Yeah.
Yeah, him in the slot. Nick. Yeah, they like him. And then that also allows Maddox and him to stay on one side probably a lot more often. And that might help Maddox. Either way, I think that the defense matches up fine with the Rams offense, especially with Barnett back, being that you lost Curry, which would have been a major problem because then Sweat would have had to start. And he looks good right now as a rotation guy. I don't know if he's ready to be a every down starter guy.
All right, let's get John Rosetto. Hello, John.
Hello, Mike. How are you, Mike?
How you doing, John? Where's Rosetto?
Rosetto, up in the Slate Belt area above Easton.
Oh, okay.
I'm just south of Stroudsburg. Nice little quaint town.
Okay.
You know, Mike, I enjoy, by the way, you, Natalie, and Tyrone. I just absolutely love it. And as a retired administrator, teacher, football coach, I just appreciate the insights that you have on your show.
Thank you, and thanks for listening up there, John.
And you know,
and watching us on TV, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And good old PSU. We had a son who played there. He's now 40-some years old. He does Planet Fitness as a part-time manager, or a part owner and manager. So I just want to comment on the Eagles situation. And as many decades of watching, going back to the Roman Gabriel days when they were hanging all over him and beating him up, seeing Dick Vermeil, who I saw when he first got the job. But a couple things. I think Tyrone may want to comment on this too. But offensively, obviously, great teams that succeed run the ball very well. I also suggest that why we don't have a lead back or a fullback and bring somebody into that position so that you don't just have zone blocking without any kind of a lead help for a great running back like Miles Sanders.
Well, because it's a throwing league now, you know, John.
Yeah, I know
and
that.
And so they don't like to waste positions on just blocking positions. They like to line up multiple and put pressure on that way. That's the way the league is going.
The Patriots have been it for years, though. You know, they always had a lead blocker in case they needed it. It doesn't have to be an all-time situation. Also, Wentz, I believe he is a different player when he gets outside the pocket. So play action, bootleg, I think he is really good on the outside. I don't think his forte is to sit in that pocket all the time.
Well, you would think they would have different packages to get him outside and take advantage of his arm strength to throw the ball down the field from the pocket as well. I don't understand. That's a part of coaching that I didn't understand in game one.
Right. And you got two tight ends.
Yes.
And bootlegs. Tight ends and bootlegs get lost, man.
Yeah.
They come dragging on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
And you got two really, really all-pro tight ends. I mean, they're really good.
Yeah.
And I hope Ertz doesn't get his dauber down. You know, I looked at his face in the game. I'm like, come on, buddy. You're getting paid. Let's play.
Yeah, he's got to suck it up and be a professional until he gets this situation straightened out. You can't play angry at management. You can't.
No.
You got to put that stuff in your locker.
He does, and he has to make that catch. Goddard had a really good game, though, so I'm interested. They said, though, the guys that watched the film that I trust said that they're still putting the better cover guys on Ertz,
mm-hmm.
and Goddard's getting everything off linebackers.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what the Rams do. If Goddard gets, mm-hmm. if Goddard's killing them, if they switch it up, I think then you might see some more Ertz, because clearly they're game planning right now for Ertz, and they're willing to give the Eagles what Goddard will get. I'm interested if that switches, because they said, the person who was watching the film said he thinks that Ertz would have 2,000-yard seasons if you matched them up on a linebacker every play the way they do with Goddard. So
yeah.
It's just something to watch to see how the Rams defend it.
Here's the shame of this game now. The shame of the game is the no fan thing. And this puts a different perspective on any Eagles opener we've ever seen, because there would be a buzz in the town about and making plans to get there and, you know, setting it all up with where you're going to watch the game and who you're picking up at 6 a.m. to get into the lot and all that kind of stuff. So I'm curious to know how this has changed the way you approach an Eagle Sunday. And my Eagle Sunday is... So I especially love 1 o'clock games. I eat up just enough time to nestle in.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know, I slog around. I get as grubby as I can in my wear my drawers around with the coffee and, you know, just being sloppy. And then, you know, I get about noon. I go, all right, it's time to shower.
Right.
And then you shower, you get ready.
And you're all fresh.
Yeah. I'm not a
fresh
pregame,
and ready for the
I'm
game.
I'm not a pregame show guy anymore. I try.
Yeah,
I
don't
stuff.
Do pregame either.
I'm right up to kickoff.
Yes.
I'm doing whatever.
Right.
But
I'm a guy who always has been, since I've been in this business, I prefer to watch the game alone. I know a lot of people go, well, that's weird. You watch it with your friends. I go, because I gotta like pay attention to every single play. I can't be diverted. I'm getting a conversation. You know, I miss a series or whatever. So I prefer to be alone anyway. But there are like a thousand million people who are not in my category who live for Eagle Sundays and getting together to watch the games. And I'm curious to know what your plans are now. How have you had to alter them with the COVID situation, not being able to congregate? Do you watch it with family, or do you risk watching it with friends by going over somebody's house? It's a different kind of a climate now for people. And I think that has kind of chiseled down the excitement for the home opener.
It does, and it makes a larger question to me about how much we actually love football itself, or do we love all the other stuff? I've always wondered that, but yeah, I do think that people, this is their whole week. People start on Monday talking about what they're going to do on Sunday mm-hmm. with the friends and the crew and what food, and I do think that this might be why there's not as much juice about this game. It can't be just because they had one bad loss. We've all lived, we've seen bad losses week one before. Andy Reid had bad losses week mm-hmm. one. And they still end up making the playoffs or making the conference final. Like, we know the conference championship.
Yeah.
We know that teams, we're smart enough to know, even though we're angry, that teams can overcome bad losses.
Right.
So it has to be what you're mentioning, Mike, that's sucking it away from you.
It
definitely is.
Yeah, you know, the anticipation of a game, especially it's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a sunshiny day.
Football weather.
Yeah. As we're talking about it, it actually is kind of like physically hurting me thinking about what Sunday would be like. with the sunshine and the tailgating and, and just the buzz, like all of it for years and years and years. This is the first year that we're not going to be able to have that. And it's actually, it's hurting my soul.
It's an experience people to go to the game on a regular basis, but there are a lot of people that don't go to the game that, that congregate and watch it at so-and-so's house. And I'm just curious to know what, how that has changed for you. What are you going to do? No, are you going to downshift? Is it just going to be you? Is the wife going to accompany you to watch the game since you're going to be home now? And, you know, all the kids are going to be home. It's like, do you have that family eagle thing going on right now?
It's weird. I'm going to be intrigued to see. I feel like there's, maybe this is just me because I'm weird. There's just this, like, scent in the air on football Sunday in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. There's just this weird smell. And I think, I hope that the smell is still there. Maybe it'll kind of give, it's like the ushering in of fall and the crisp weather and the leaves. It's like, it's all of it. It's all of it. It's like, it's the dawn of, like, the new season. Yeah, it's the new year. It's the new year in Philadelphia. Hopefully it still feels like that.
610-622-0975. I want to know what your MO is going to be for this particular game. Let's go to Aaron in Norristown. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike, how you doing today, bud?
What's up, Aaron?
Not much. It's funny you're talking about that. This is going to be the first home opener in 30 years I won't be at. And, you know, I'm not somebody who goes to the game and tailgates, but, you know, I go to the game, I hang out, I get there, I get to my seats. I enjoy watching the game from somebody who played, and you know, I enjoy going to the game. It's the first time since 1990 I won't be seeing a home opener. It's kind of, it's like a cross between the, when the Scabs played and the strike. It's kind of like got a, it's got a weird
it
feel.
It does have that pall over it. It really does.
It's just got a film over it. So, I mean, my thing is I'm just going to try and forget about it. I'm going to go play Scotland Run in the morning and watch the game at 1 o'clock.
Got a guy.
There you go. So this is kind of a crossroads game, in my opinion, for Carson. This is the team, you know, in the Super Bowl run. And, you know, we're not supposed to have a Super Bowl hangover anymore, which means I could care less what Carson did in 2017. He's a 500 quarterback since then. He's got to stop being unable to not let go of the ball. He's you know, it seems like, Michael, it seems like he's a better quarterback when he doesn't front run. It's almost like he's a Seabiscuit of quarterback, and he needs to see the competition in front of him. And he plays better with an up-tempo type offense. But when he gets the lead, I mean, that wasn't the first time that Ron Rivera undressed him in his second half. Did the same thing last year with Carolina. He's just a horrible quarterback when he gets like a 2-3 touchdown lead. So I hope it's like a tie game going into the fourth quarter so he could just let loose and play.
Well,
you know where I'm coming.
Yeah,
you
know I'm coming? I know where you're coming from. I think you round off some facts, but I believe that Carson Wentz can be a front runner.
Michael, I believe he could throw for 300. I mean, they really, except for Aaron Donald, who, by the way, what do you have, like 10 pressures against Dallas? I mean, you got to double team him. They seem to match up well with him, hopefully, in the past, this new line, who knows. They've got Ramsey back there, which is capable of picking off Wentz twice. But Carson should just come out there tomorrow, Sunday, and let it fly. He should be looking for 300 yards. He should be looking to lead this team. And because his statement against the guy who got drafted one ahead of him, he should see that whole dynamic and how badly he played last week. I mean, if he doesn't play well tomorrow, Michael, they're on the verge of 1-5.
Yeah, they are. That's why it's a must win. That's why I got an Eagle hat on today. I would never do that normally. Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, that's his phone.
He got zipped. I'm looking at the. I'm gonna look at the Rams here.
Sure, as a roster.
Did Cam Akers do anything last week? He was the top pick, right? Cam Akers?
Yeah.
The running back? Did they start Malcolm Brown?
I think he might have looked all right, actually.
Did he look all right?
I think so. 14 carries for 39 yards.
Oh, he got some play.
Yeah, he got some PT. I mean, they need him.
Yeah.
They need him badly because they don't have a lot of balance.
What was this Rams team supposed to be this year?
Mediocre. They're not. There was a reason. Definitely not. They're third in their division. They're behind the 49ers and Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be that great. They really aren't.
Yeah, I like the Eagles. I am. I'm solidly behind the Eagles.
I am too.
You are now. You've changed.
I've changed. It took a while. I need to see all those guys back. No. I don't trust. I can't. The Eagles have put me in a spot where I can't trust their what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say, oh, Lane's back and Miles, I need to see it. And until I saw the video of Miles Sanders doing a play where he was flanked left, planted super hard, cut back, and was able to really move, I still didn't believe he was going to play.
Yeah.
But once I see the video, because I can't trust what they say anymore. Tim McManus put a nice video package of Sanders cut. And being really,
yeah.
Then I believe, okay, not only is he back, he's good. Like, he's not just going to be out there hobbling. So now I feel good, but I couldn't trust them. As far as I was concerned, it was going to be the same people this week as last week because they're liars.
All right, here's the thing. Is it an advantage for the Eagles or the Rams? Because the Rams almost have a dead loss next week. Like, they know in their brain they're losing next week because they have to go all the way back home and then come all the way back to Buffalo the following week.
Unless they already have a plan to stay. Sometimes they have a thing, but it's tougher with COVID.
Yeah, they're probably not going to stay. So this road trip is a lot more winnable for them than the following one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Is that a factor in this game here?
I don't know.
They can store up and play. Like, they can come across to the East once and win. They can't do it twice in a row.
No.
That's the lock of the week next week, Buffalo over the Rams.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if the cross country is going to be a huge factor. I think it's always a factor, mm-hmm. unless you let it not be a factor. But I think the Eagles, honestly, I think the Eagles are a better team.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think that's going to play the bigger role. And I still believe when push comes to shove, if you get pressure, they have the better quarterback. Goff has not played well against the Eagles when they've put pressure on him in the past.
Yeah.
And I do think they can generate pressure, especially that middle pressure. If Jackson is and Fletcher Cox, if those guys, now that they have a game under their belt, can generate pressure, mm-hmm. I think he'll struggle, that quarterback.
All right, we are open. 610-622-0975. Westbrook joins us at 4 o'clock. If you want to discuss this game with Brian Westbrook, he's got it all handicapped. Our big baby pool of prizes is coming up also at 4 o'clock. A lot of things going on today. Our picks, well, with Westbrook at 4:30, at who we like this weekend. To throw a few shekels on. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 610-622-0975, and we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the Twitter poll update here at 3:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show. And Brian Westbrook joins us at 4 o'clock. You want to get your calls in, 610-620-975. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer. Natalie, what are the numbers?
All right, Mike, we have two polls now. The first poll, will the Eagles beat the Rams this weekend? 48% say yes, 43% say no, 9% think it'll be a tie. And poll number two, with COVID-19 restrictions, how will you tailgate this week for the Eagles game? 25% say I'll be alone, 48% will be with family, 15% will do a large backyard gathering, and 12% don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah. This is on fly mostly. I'm curious to know though. Like, can you watch this as a family? Does this increase family watching? Because normally, you know, the wife, she leaves you alone, and you go downstairs, and you got a buddy or two, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, is this make it more of an obligation for the spouse in the house to share this moment with Hub?
I mean, it might, because what are the other options? Like, I guess you can kind of go out and go shopping now or take care of some errands.
So you join at the hip through this pandemic. And
right.
So, like, a lady that may not be interested in the Eagles game now becomes kind of an event with Hub.
Yeah. I mean, this is also an opportunity for, you know, mm-hmm. to, and not even just women, but the casual football viewer, yeah. not really into the team. But come
again,
on board.
There's a lot of guys that don't want the wife next to them because they don't want to be asked questions about the game when they're concentrating on the game.
That's very fair.
But I don't know. How's it work?
Yeah, it's a challenge.
How's it work with you, Ty?
Well, Elizabeth knows the game now.
So she watches the game with you?
She watched week uh-huh. one until things got bad because, uh-huh. well, for being in the press box at a young age, I don't really cheer or uh-huh. whatever. I'm pretty flatline.
Yeah.
But I was in a good mood when it was 17-0. When they fell behind, she just got up and left the room. And I thought she, like, went to the bathroom. She just left.
She was just checked out.
She just was. Well, because she said, you got really quiet, and I didn't want you to be really mad, so I just left.
See, now, if you were with other, like, one other, like, if I was over your house and watching the game, you wouldn't be quiet. You'd be going off on every play.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that to her because she's sitting there, and she's not happy about it, but I don't want to make her uncomfortable. Because, I don't want to make her uncomfortable
I talk to myself. I do. I talk to myself. I go, well, that was a ridiculous play call. Like, I'll say that out loud.
No, there's times where I say that, like, that doesn't make no that makes no sense. Why, Doug? Yeah. Why? I did that a few times.
Yeah.
Why? No, get rid of it. All that kind of stuff. But once they were behind and Washington has the ball and they're killing the clock, I'm like, what?
It's interesting because, you know, last year I worked every game, all day, every game. So I wasn't able to really express myself during the game. So last Sunday, was the first time in a really long time I was able to enjoy it. And I kind of didn't know how to act. I was like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, I know. See, this is a great question, though, for people. Because usually, if you're with a buddy, that changes the landscape of how you watch a game. If you're with yourself, are you quiet watching the game, or do you still yell? I've heard from a lot of women that say, yeah, I can hear them screaming at the TV. But, like, I wonder now, like, are you watching the game? What do you do?
Also, we do have a fair amount of female callers, which I'm glad that we do. Some of them dread. Maybe they're not the ones that listen to this station. Mm-hmm. There are women out there that dread football season.
Yeah.
Because the husband's away and he can't talk to him and blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. I wonder if they use this as an opportunity or do they still just hate football?
Yeah.
And maybe somebody could say about their wives. Because those women get on my nerves.
Yeah.
And football, why does he got to go do this? It's once a week. Shut up. Don't complain. It's once a week. If it was Sixers up. Or baseball or something like that, it's different. Flyers. Yeah. Once a week. For whatever, leave him alone. But there's I hate football. I want to give him. He can't get his honey-do list done.
You know what?
That stuff. I wonder if this affects any of that.
Remember in early quarantine when we ran that poll? How are you and your significant other getting along?
Yeah, they're getting along real well at first.
Yeah, I'm wondering how it would be now, and then if you add football season to it.
Probably a little trouble. You're lucky that there's some outdoor privileges.
Right.
Because if you stuck in after that game, you've been stuck together all week. Because you know most people were still mad at least till Thursday.
Yeah.
If there's any silver lining, at least it was March.
Yeah. Here's another thing I'm going to shift into because this involves fan reaction also. It seems to me that the Phillies fans aren't even interested anymore what the result is. Are you picking up on that? Like, even last, like today, I thought there'd be vim and vigor about the Phillies. And I think people just go, they're not even interested anymore. What's the difference? I think they've reached that point.
And that's the worst point to reach, when they don't care.
It's exactly right. They don't care. They're not even mad.
Now, I will say, sound off later on.
Oh, they were hot on sound off?
They're still coming in.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from some Philly fans then. Now, people aren't talking about the Eagles today for some reason. I don't know why, but they're not talking about the Eagles. So, if you got vim and vigor about the Phillies, you know, laid on me. I don't even know what to say anymore about the Phillies. They're just, it's a sad thing that's happening right now with them.
It is. It is pathetic. Also, another thing people were talking about, Mike, and I don't know how to fix this. There are people that are mad at Giannis. Last year,
Giannis
lost
the MVP.
Last year, they lost to the second round. Yeah. He was MVP. But Toronto went on and won the whole thing. So no one really held it against him. Miami, for all we know, we'll win the whole thing. We don't know. They're still in it. They're up 2-0. There's no reason. They could. It's not like against the Lakers they would be. They could win the whole thing.
This is for you. Miami Heat, y'all. Miami Heat, y'all. Miami Heat, y'all. Jimmy Butler, y'all.
I can't. I can't. I hate it. But there are people who are angry now with the Greek Freak this year. And they think that you should wait till after the playoffs or something else about the MVP. Do you agree with that at all? Because that's out there.
No,
now.
Because the playoffs influence the voter too much.
Right.
That would take over the judgment, the playoffs. Because I'm gonna be honest, we get the MVP. If you included the playoffs, you wouldn't get the MVP.
Like right now,
so then that would be unfair because it's a smaller window that you're evaluating over a longer period of time. That's why they don't include the playoffs.
I agree with it, but there are people out there who were all, last year, by the way, same circumstance, they weren't mad. This year, furious.
But you have to understand why they do it that way because you're an example of why they do it that way because your judgment goes, Giannis and Steph, you shouldn't get MVP based on the smaller window, and that's not fair. All right, 610-622-0975. Just wanted to mention one thing. Next week, I'm headed to this plasma place. Our program director, Chuck, was just saying we were talking about it. I have to visit this plasma place that wants to do some advertising because the need to donate plasma is high these days.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go over to this plasma place. Now, that was the plasma donation place was a thing in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was especially a thing. If you went to any major college campus, the little town would have one, at least one, and maybe a couple plasma donation centers.
Okay.
And it serves a good purpose to donate plasma, but it would lure people who needed to get, at least this is my sociological study, you would get paid for donating plasma. I forget back then what it was. Like, they'd give you $20 or whatever.
Okay.
It's not a bad deal.
And in the late 70s, marijuana use was at an all-time high. The 70s were all about pot.
Yeah.
The 80s then swung to cocaine.
Yeah.
But the 70s was all about pot.
Mm-hmm.
So every pothead that I knew, and I knew a lot of them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Solder Plasma Weekly for pop money.
Yeah, because you get that and you go get a dub.
Yes.
You go ahead and get
or you buy a little back. You get the $20, you get $40, you know, you get $80 a month you're spending on marijuana.
I mean, you could, from what I'm looking at right now, you could still make money doing it.
Jen, how much do you get now if you donate your plasma?
Between $20 and $50, this one website is saying. I don't know. You know exactly what it is, but it says you can get between $20 and $50, and your donation helps those who are sick.
Oh well, there you go. See, now I didn't have I wasn't a big pot smoker,
right?
A lot of guys on the dorm floor were, but I wasn't. It just didn't do that much for me. However, I was telling my program director a story once where I go to this party, and at any party you go to at Penn State, like an apartment party, a fraternity party, whatever it is,
yeah.
The pot is plentiful, and it's just like in plain view to say. It was like you could smoke pot at concerts and nobody would even call you out on it. You can't do that stuff anymore, right?
So you
go to a party and you run into all kinds of freaky dudes, and every one of them thinks they have the pot edge, whether it's the pot they bought or whether it's something they discovered. And I walk into this one party, and it was mutual friends. I knew the guy. He lived on a dorm floor. But I didn't say, he had this scraggly blonde hair dude, like typical freak-looking dude. And he goes, Mike, he goes, you ever do a beanie stick? And I go, what? He goes, it's an Indian cigarette. It's perfectly legal. And it'll get you high, dude. And I...
oh, boy.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait. He goes, you can buy it anywhere. You buy a cigarette plate? Is it? So he takes out the pack and says, sure, beady. It's Indian cigarettes. It's made in India. And it's made by women. Like, women hand roll these. Though the industry is that women in a household will, it's tobacco mixed with like herbs and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it's an Indian cigarette. So it's like a brown wrapper and it's threaded. That's how they tie it together.
Okay.
And so women produce them and then the companies buy from the women. And they put them in boxes and put them on the market. So the guy goes to me. He goes, "But you just can't smoke it. I got to shotgun it with you." God, that's all right. But
what? So the God is complication.
And he said it's legal?
He goes, he puts, you know how you shotgun pot?
Yes.
Yeah. So you put the lid end in and you blow out and the smoke comes out the other side and he blows it in your face. All right. So I do that. The next thing I know, I'm out. Literally passed out and hit the floor. I fell backwards and hit the floor. Boom.
Oh, man.
And I woke up and all these people are putting cold compresses on my head.
Why couldn't you just take a hit? Why did he tell you?
Whether he took a hit or not, it affected me that plasma story led to that story.
Yeah.
Because guys were so unique on getting high that they always had another methodology. And like this guy found the Sharbini. I can't get in trouble for it, and I get twice as hot.
Oh, man.
So Indian cigarettes, beedies are cigarettes that in India are cheaper, and they're usually for the lower class of people. They have the caste system because they're cheaper. So they're produced for the lower class of people.
Right.
I'm
looking now.
Yeah, what's in them?
It's a mixture. It's tobacco mixed with ground up beetle nuts, BETEL. It's a tree. Herbs and spices and wrapped in a tendu leaf. And it's tied with a string at the end. It's rolled and it's tied with a string.
Wow. It says that
you can get them in. I don't know. They might be outlawed now.
Well, it says that they deliver more nicotine, carbon monoxide, and tar.
Okay, so you can't buy them like you used to. Then they're restricted.
Yeah.
Is the FDA banned them? Because of that?
It doesn't necessarily say, but I don't know if they're like available for sale. No, it says, you know what? They're treated like regular cigarettes.
All right. Well, they're still on the market then. I wonder if anybody has a story like that. And some of them are produced like with fragrance. Like they put a fragrance in them.
Interesting.
Anyway. I don't even know where that story came from. I was just thought about my head.
Plasma.
6106. All I know is I passed out from them. And that was the end of that. That's the last BD I smoked.
I don't blame you.
610-622-0975. Back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Alrighty, 347, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Philly's about to play in a little bit. We're talking to Eagles. I love them on Sunday. I do. They're going to be my pack. I feel good about this game. They're getting people back. I think they're really hell-bent to correct what they did in that clunker. I think the quarterback's going to play very well. I think they're going to have a little bit of spunk. They got players back, which gives the team a little bit more confidence. Meanwhile, the U.S. Open is trudging along here at Wingfoot up there in upstate New York. And I had a lot of friends that have played that course. I've never played it. They say it's the hardest course ever.
Playing harder today.
It is playing harder today. Got a wind that got in there, dried up a little bit.
Yeah.
Rough, grew a little bit. So right now, the lead, Bryson DeChambeau tied with Patrick Reed at -3.
Yeah, it was -5 yesterday. So
yeah, they're coming back down to earth a little bit. Let's see where our boy is. Is he on the landscape at all?
Rory's
+2, I see.
And he had his best round in the first round of the major in a while. Tiger is +3.
+3?
Yeah, so he's going to... Reed just went to -4, I believe, like just as we're speaking. Tiger +3 for the day, so +6 overall.
Oh, +6 overall. Okay. Wait, yeah. I was looking at the
day. I was just looking at the day. Yeah, +3 for the day. So he's in 66th place. He's got some work to do.
He's 6 over, and guess what the cut line is?
What's it, 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's through 7. I mean, he has time, but it can go either way.
It could go either way.
Time for some bogeys.
Yeah.
Because he finished yesterday bogey, double bogey. So this course doesn't let up.
No, Ricky Fowler's also 6 over. So
he's a choke artist, that guy. I don't believe
him. He never wins anything.
Yeah.
But everybody loves him. Yeah. Anybody else? Gary Woodland, U.S. Open reigning champ, +8. So he's out of it.
Yeah, he's up out of there.
Tommy Fleetwood's out of it, +8. He's a good player.
The Sambo being finished for the day already puts him in a lot in a pretty darn good spot the way the course is playing.
Our man Cameron Champ is plus 11. not a great tournament.
No.
And Kevin Kistner, who had a little controversy on what he said, he's plus 12. He's out of it. Phil Mickelson. Oh, God, Phil. 13 over.
Yeah.
Dude.
He's on the... He was supposed to be entering these the Champions Tour. It's time.
Yeah, well,
no, I'm just saying he's not competitive anymore.
Yeah, he's not going to be able
just
to win.
Just go beat the US other old guys.
He's never won a U.S. Open, so.
Yeah, go beat those old guys. And Tiger.
Well, he will. He'll beat the crap out of them.
And Tiger, you need to start thinking about it. Getting close for you, too. He'll be 45 in December. No, he's got to be 50, right?
You think he's going to play Champions Tour?
I think he has no choice.
That's beneath him, man.
Why not he go win more majors? Those count. Go be the greatest old player of all time.
The best golfer ever can't play on a championship tour. Champions Tour.
Come Jack on. Never played any of those?
No. Man, he may have played a couple of them.
He got to play the four majors, right? The four champions majors? Yeah, he has to if he turns 55 years away. Nike would probably want it.
I don't know. I think he's got too much pride for that. We'll see. Let's go to Keith in Los Angeles. What's up, Keith? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Keith.
Hey, what's going on? Since Tyrone is such a big proponent of the facts, let me spin some more really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams got rid of two players on offense, two injury liabilities, Todd Gurley with an arthritic knee, Brandon Cooks who was a walking concussion. Our number one receiver, Robert Woods, plays on the strong outside, predominantly on the strong side of the formation. He's the Cooper Kupp is the slot, period. Now, this game will tell us a lot about Doug Peterson, because we have some obvious and glaring weaknesses. The defensive line that you're going to play this week couldn't carry Washington's jockstrap. You get Aaron Donald blocked up, you got nobody else to worry about. Our linebackers are weak and inexperienced, so with Sanders coming back, that's a big boost for you guys. Run the ball, get him isolated on the linebackers, take your shots here and there. You guys should win easily. You've won six straight. And you beat us against better Rams defenses. So I would bet the Eagles big. Now, if you guys don't win big, then Doug ain't that dude. I'm telling you, because we got some big weaknesses that he should attack. And if he doesn't, then, again, he ain't that dude.
Well, the problem is, the matchup here, the Eagles couldn't hold off Washington's defensive front last week. If they don't hold off the Rams' defensive front, then what happens in the game? It's not going to be a runaway.
Well, that's what I just told you. That defensive front is not that strong. I don't know why people think it. We got Aaron Donald, and that's it.
Well, but he's a handful. And guess who's got to play Aaron Donald off the line of scrimmage? Kelsey, who's a slight center, and a rookie, Herbig, undrafted rookie.
Okay, you realize that you guys have played against Aaron Donald two previous times?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
With a
better offensive line.
Well, double him. You got nobody else to worry about.
All right. We'll see, man. You're talking down your squad. I like it. You're making an objective look at it. I think the Eagles win the game also.
Yeah.
So I'm not sweating it.
Yeah, but I listen to you guys all the time. You've been questioning.
But listen, just because they don't beat them by two touchdowns doesn't mean like the season's over.
No, it doesn't. But I'm saying if he doesn't attack the obvious and glaring weaknesses, there's a problem with his strategy.
All right, buddy.
The attack team.
All right, man. Yeah, Mr. Football checking in from L.A. Let's go to Joe in South Coventry. What's up, Joe?
I know, Mike.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, listen, I'm going down to shore tomorrow. I'm going to go to one of your favorite places, Votacos.
You got to grab some takeout down there?
Yeah, get that Sunday dinner.
It's really funny. You got the executive chef that Jeff came out to say hello to me the last time I was there. Say hey to Jeff.
Hey, you know what? I can't watch. I have DirecTV, so I get to watch my two favorite teams every Sunday, and I got to watch it by myself too. I can't have anybody.
Really? So you do that every game? Watch by yourself?
Yes, every game, every Sunday morning, every Sunday, 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock, I watch my favorite team, and then I got to be by myself. And you talk about some bad cigarettes. I got some Cuban cigars a few years back. from Switzerland, and they sent me some Cuban cigarettes. I smoke cigarettes, and I gave them away to some guys that, you know, smoke other stuff. They said they were the nastiest stuff.
Probably harsh, those cigarettes over there. They don't play with their tobacco. They don't, you know, there's no mild tobacco in Cuba.
No.
they cultivate that hardy tobacco.
Yes, but I'll tell you what, I can't beat Nicaraguan tobacco anymore, though, for cigars.
Oh, not me. I got Nicaragua.
What's that?
I don't roll with Nicaraguan cigars.
No.
I stay away from the Honduran and the Nicaraguas. Listen, a good Dominican cigar is fine.
No.
Yes, it is. You got to get the right Dominican. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go buy a white label Monte Cristo.
A white
label, not the brown label. Give me a white label Monte Cristo, and you tell me about Dominican tobacco.
Okay, I'll tell you, not Dominican, it's Nicaraguan I like.
That's what I mean, you're shunning Dominican tobacco.
I'm taking Cubans.
Yeah, you're getting that
tomorrow.
Sandinista tobacco.
No way. Come on, Mike. You know, it's like my two favorite teams, the Colts and whoever's playing the Eagles. I'll get to watch them this week.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy now, Mike.
Yeah, I'm rolling Nicaraguan cigars. Yeah. No point.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a Dominican cigar, good Dominican cigar. You don't have to get Nicaragua or Honduras.
Right. So you don't have to go all the way to Cuba.
You can't get Cubans. You can get Nicaraguans at cigars and Honduran made cigars. But the market mostly has Dominican cigars.
I got you.
Unless you got a connect that can get slide you in some Cubans. A little contraband action. 6 months.
There you go.
Yeah.
You have a connect, Mike?
Yeah, I do.
Hey.
I have a Cubano connection.
How about it?
But see, Cuban cigars can't be smoked regularly like that. Like, I balance it. Like, what I'm looking for a heartier cigar, I'll go to Cuban. So, I'll have, like, 6 Cubans to, like, 20 the Dominicans in the humidor.
Okay.
So, it's a special time when I'll bring out the Cuban.
Did you have a humidor in your house?
Yes.
Did we see it?
It's just a box.
Oh, I thought you had one of those walk-in ones that I missed.
No. I don't have a walk-in humidor. No, humidor is the box that has liquefying, moisturizing packs, or like I put a bowl of distilled water in it.
Okay.
No, a walk-in humidor?
I didn't know you had the walk-in one that I missed.
Yeah, no, walk-in humidor is a little...
It's next to the pool table.
A little beyond where I would go. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.